this. And you know what? For 5 months, we sent our son down there in faith. It's just, we can't afford college. And you know, we wondered every month, how's he going to pay the rent? And you know what? God just provided. Every time I thought, okay, it's another week. We got to come up with something. And yeah, we were ready. It's like, you know, son, I'm sorry. You might have to come home. I don't know what to do. And it's like, well, every month God provided. Thank you, Jesus. And now, hallelujah, God's provided in a greater way to take some of the burden off of myself, my wife, and our bank account. Lord knows. Has anybody got a bank account that doesn't have any kind of issues? Lord knows we can use all the help we can get, right? Amen. Where's my little clicker thing? I got a clicker thing here somewhere. I'm going to do my best not to cough into the microphone. Forgive me if one slips through. This morning, I want to really focus in on God's Word and how important it is to us. Oh, is there anybody taking the children this morning? No takers? You girls are going to have to be really good. We have a program come and go that you are going to love. And so just be patient. Oliver. Yes, dear. No, just relax. It'll be fine. Crystal? And you take the multitudes? Pastor's wife. All right. We're kind of in between our children's program right now, so it's a little sketchy. Sister, I appreciate the offer, but wow, I didn't realize we had so many in the house. Half the church disappeared. Bring them back. Amen. You know what? That is our future. And let me just say that with having, thank you for sharing that, Jackie. if we do not invest in the generations behind us, you know what's going to happen to the church? It's not going to be there. It's going to die. I know several churches, and I talked to different pastors and things, and I know several churches where it's all elderly people, and there's no young people. Well, guess what? You got to get some young people in there. Well, how do you get young people interested in the Lord? It's kind of difficult today, isn't it? But it's very important that we teach them the Word of God. It's very important that we teach them how to apply the Word of God. It's very important that we invest in them God's kingdom. And it takes time. Now, having said that, we are working on a program that we're going to need a lot of help with. I need at least 4 leaders who are able to lead children in a little bit of a program, but also I'm going to ask parents to help out. I'm hoping that we have enough people so that you're only out of one service a month. But the program that we're getting ready to implement is really good material that invests in our children the things of God that they need. We want to give them the tools through His Word. In order that as they grow, they will become the next generation church. And they'll, not only will they become the next generation church, but they'll know God's Word, and they'll know how to apply it properly. The question on the screen there, you know, do you know the Word, and do you apply it properly? There's great importance in knowing the whole Word of God and applying it properly. Now, the Bible tells us, and we all know this, in I'll turn it on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What happens if you don't know God's word and you don't know how to apply it to your life? You know what happens? Discouragement can set in real quick. And next thing you know, how many know somebody who kind of played around in church, kind of knew some of the things of God, but when life got tough, they turned around and they walked away? You did. Well, thank you for walking back, sister. We need to know God's word. We need to know how to apply it to our life, because life comes at us really fast. Life comes at us really hard. We live in a fallen world, and we live in a fallen world that happens to have a ruler over that wants to devour us, that wants to destroy us. Principalities and powers of darkness of the air. We've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare. I was going to give that a break today, but how do you take a break from spiritual warfare? Because it's always happening. Uh-oh, one came back. Amen. A little chilly down there, is it? Spiritual warfare never stops. Today, everybody know what today is? Palm Sunday. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, Palm Sunday is one of the greatest examples of not knowing the whole of God's word, and not understanding how to apply it. Let me explain. John chapter 12, verse 13. We all know the story, right? Does anybody not know the story of Palm Sunday? Raise your hand. I mean, be honest. Let's be honest. Jesus is coming into town. He's riding on a donkey. And there's all kinds of significance in all of that. We could go to John chapter 12 and read the whole story if we needed to. There's a lot of significance of him coming in on a donkey, the donkey being a symbol of peace. He's coming in as a king, bringing peace. Next time he comes in, he's going to be riding a horse. And when the horse is symbolic of war. And so there's just all kinds of symbolism things going on and whatnot. And all the people that were expecting him, it says they took branches from palm trees and they went forth to meet him and they cried, Hosanna, which the word Hosanna means basically they were crying out, save us, save us. Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, all around the world today, everybody is celebrating Palm Sunday. I know there's lots of churches, they got little palm branches they're handing out to people, and if you go out to the diners today for lunch, you'll see people with little ribbons on or little palm leaves tacked onto their thing, onto their, you know, clothing and what have you. But Palm Sunday really was a complete misunderstanding of God's word, and a complete misunderstanding of how it was being applied in that moment. Because what they were looking for was an earthly king. They were looking for an earthly king that would satisfy their flesh. And what they really needed was a spiritual savior that would sanctify their souls. You see, Rome was an oppressive government over the Jews. How many know that any government that is over the Jews is oppressive to the Jews? Huh? Well, they knew God's word. That's the only reason why they were out there. They knew that God was going to send them a king. They knew Isaiah chapter 11. If you go to Isaiah chapter 11, you will read prophecy about a coming king who's going to overthrow the world, who's going to overthrow governments, who's going to establish his kingdom. And so here comes Jesus. And perhaps they had heard some of his messages. Perhaps they knew that he was, you know, the one they were looking for, the king of the Jews. And so they go out there with all these palm branches and they lay them down before him and they usher him into town crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And what they really wanted was for him to overthrow the Roman government and establish a kingdom that would bring peace to the Jewish people and get all of this burden and stuff off of them. I mean, no, that's not exactly what Jesus went there for. You see, they misapplied. They didn't know the whole Word of God, because if they knew the whole Word of God, they would have not only known about Isaiah chapter 11, but they would have known about Isaiah chapter 53, which Isaiah chapter 53 talks all about prophecy about Jesus in his death, in his sacrifice, his rejection, and all those things. And it's not the first time that it happened. If you go back to John chapter 6, you can read where Jesus was telling them about how they were going to need to eat his flesh and eat and drink his blood. And they all started getting weirded out by the things that Jesus was saying because they didn't understand. And it tells us in John chapter 6, verse 66, that in that moment, many of the disciples turned back and stopped following him. You see, if we don't have a clear knowledge of the Scripture and a clear understanding of what it says, the moment things get a little confusing or we just don't, I'm just not so sure about that, we'll walk away from the church. We'll walk away from the very God who came to save us. Even the disciples, if you look at a few verses after this particular verse, John chapter 12, verse 16, it says, "These things understood not his disciples at the first, but after Jesus, when Jesus was glorified, they remembered the things that were written of him." What it says in the Living Translation, it says his disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. You see, even the disciples didn't quite have the whole picture. They didn't quite understand the whole thing. Let me ask this question. Do you know God's Word? And do you know how to apply it to your life? It's very important. I get this all the time. People will tell me, "I read the Bible, but I just don't understand it." And my encouragement is keep reading. Just keep reading. Add some prayer in there along with your reading. Ask God for wisdom, ask God for knowledge. You know what the Bible says about those who ask for wisdom? He gives it liberally. "Oh God, I need some wisdom on your word. I need some wisdom on how to apply it to my life." And then just keep reading. And keep listening to what the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. That's another thing I get all the time. God doesn't talk to me. Yes, he does. He talks to you every day. He's right here. He speaks in the form of just deep impressions in your soul. Perhaps the reason why you're here today is because you felt the Lord call you somewhere deep inside, said, "You know what? I think I should go over there to that Geneva Assembly of God church." I don't think anybody comes here by accident. I think it's a call that God puts on our lives. How many times has he called us and we ignored it? How many times? I know somebody right now, I ran into somebody this morning. "You know, I'm thinking about coming to your church." "Well, you know why you're thinking about coming to my church?" "Well, because..." No, they confessed it because they saw me. "The reason why you're thinking about coming to my church or somebody else's church or any church is because the Holy Spirit deep down inside said, 'Hey, you need to be in church.'" We need to be able to interpret his word, apply it to our lives, understand it. But see, the problem with those who were out there crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," putting the palm branches down that day, the problem is that many of them were only concerned with their well-being, but they were not concerned about their sin. You see, they were saying, Lord, save us, because they wanted all the burden of Rome off of them. They wanted God to take care of their problems, but they weren't even at all thinking about their own sin. Now, once you start talking about sin in the church, you might turn somebody off. Somebody might get offended. Well, you know what? I'll preach to an empty church if I have to, but I will not stop preaching God's word, because God's word tells us to deal with our sin. Well, we got quiet in here. Did you notice that? We want God to take care of all our problems. Is there anybody who doesn't want God to take care of your problems? We all do. Is there anybody here who doesn't have any problems? But you know, we have to understand the time and the age that we're in. The day will come when he establishes his kingdom as ruler on this earth. And there will be peace all around. There won't be any oppressive governments over anybody. There won't be any rules and regulations. How many know it's like tax time? Anybody feeling the pressure? I am. The day will come when all these problems, all these worldly issues that we have, it will be taken care of. But right now, he's more worried about what's in my heart when it comes to sin versus what's in my pocket when it comes to the tax man. He's more concerned about us spreading the gospel, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sins, than having us go out there and tell the world, you know what, God wants you to, you know, be full, fat, and free. You see, Palm Sunday was a big misunderstanding, a big misinterpretation. They were looking for a king who would take care of their every earthly need. You know what? There's nothing new in that. If you were to go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, you would find this particular verse. You see, the children of Israel, they were being watched over and served by prophets and by judges. But they decided, you know what, we want to be like the rest of the nations. We want a king. It says that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. I don't know if you can tell, but I got that, and fight our battles highlighted. Kind of a little bit bolder there. You see, we want a king to come along and fight all our battles for us. We don't want to do any of the work. Anybody want to do the work? No. And so back in the Old Testament, they wanted a king. Because you know what I've learned in my experience in the workplace? I've been in construction. I've been in construction. I've been in deconstruction, you know, whether it's dismantling buildings and bridges or building them. What I've learned is that it's easy to be the guy at the bottom, the guy that you just got to do what you're told. That's really the easiest place. You'll get, you know, laborers out there or you know, just general workers, people with the skills that just go out there and do their thing all day long, you know. Every now and again, they'll be like, oh, man, I should be a boss. Let me tell you something. You don't want to be a boss. It's not easy to be a boss. Because the moment you become a boss, now all of a sudden you got responsibility. And with responsibility comes a lot of issues, a lot of headaches. I know a lot of bosses that say, you know what, I think I just would rather go back to the ditch. It was so much easier. But this is the same principle. It's like, you know what? Life is hard. I want somebody just to take the responsibility and just tell me what to do, and I'll go through the motions. And isn't it interesting? In the Old Testament, they wanted a king. In Jesus' time, they wanted a king. And what's it look like today? We want a king. Somebody that'll take care of all of our problems. Somebody that'll just tell us what to do, and we'll just gladly serve him, do whatever it is they ask. We want a king. What'd you say, fat governor? Yeah, government. And Chris says, please excuse my French. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I've told that joke before. So, for those who don't know, Laura's from France. And so. But I appreciate your honesty. You know, it's true. It's true. What does God want for us? What does God want for you and I? He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to learn how to live through all these difficulties and all these problems. And you know what? Sometimes we actually got to do some work. Because it's not about living the easy life. It's about dealing with the sin in our hearts. You see, we need a Savior more than we need a king. And if you read your Bible, and if you interpret it properly, you come to the understanding that it's much more about our souls being saved than it is our flesh being blessed. The original Palm Sunday, and perhaps the Palm Sunday that's being celebrated all around the world today, originally it was a big show on the part of worshipers with no spiritual connection to their king. It was a big show. Could you imagine? All these people coming out and Jesus coming in on the donkey, and they're laying all these palm branches out, and it was a big show. They didn't even know who it was they were leading into town. Does that sound familiar? How many have ever seen a church that all it is a big show? Where was their devotion when he was arrested and tried and executed on the cross? Where were they then? Where were the palm branches as he was being led out of the city with their cross on his back? Where were the palm branches that day? And you know what? Their misunderstanding of the scriptures led to the multitudes turning their backs on him. Here's a question. How many of the same people who cried Hosanna in John chapter 12, verse 13, also cried crucify him on John chapter 19? I think it was perhaps many of the same people. You see, when they thought that he was going to come in and take care of all their needs, oh, they all wanted to follow him. But the moment that he headed for the cross, he went there alone. Even his disciples, those who walked with him and talked with him, and he taught, you know, first hand in hand, scattered. They wanted him to save them from earthly bondage. It was placed on them by the Romans, but he came to set them free from their spiritual bondage, which was placed on them by their own sin. Here's what it looks like. They wanted a king that would become a savior, but instead he came as a savior who will become a king. See? Do you understand God's word? Do you know how to apply it to your life? It's important. So I got a couple questions. What am I looking for? A king to take away all my problems or a savior to take away my sins? That's really the bottom line. A king to take away my problems or a savior to take away my sins? And you know what? There is king after king after king, generation after generation after generation. I'll stand up and take care of your problems. There's far too many kings all around the world promising all kinds of things. We've got some elections coming up. How many in your generation, how many elections, elected people have you voted for said, I'm going to take care of all your problems, and when it was all said and done, they gave us more problems? You see, our focus needs to be right. And you know what? In this world, we will have tribulation. Isn't that what the Bible says? We will have trials. But if we're more concerned about our sins than our flesh issues, we can have peace throughout it all. You know, many times the Bible talks about peace. You see, God doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to live in turmoil. He doesn't want us to live in... And you know what? All the while in this world, there's going to be issues. But in the midst of it all, He wants to stand. He wants us to be able to stand up in the middle of a storm and say, peace. He wants to have peace. He wants us to have love. He wants us to have faithfulness. You see, it's either a king to take away our problems or a savior to take away our sins. Which is Jesus to you? Because the one you will follow as long as the blessings flow, but the other you will never turn away from. No matter what happens on earth. Let me say that again. The one you will follow as long as the blessings flow, right? Now, I don't want to get all political and all this on you, but remember all the people that were all about Obama? Woohoo! Blessings coming our way. Well, the moment that perhaps, hey, wait a minute, it's going to cost me something? Many turn their backs. But you see, Jesus didn't come promising to take care of all our problems. He came to promising to take away our sin. And that, my friend, is somebody that I will follow till death. Because He promised me, you know what? What's the promise for God gave the world for what? So that you would not perish. That you would have everlasting life. Well, it doesn't matter how much stuff you gain on this earth, how much earthly blessing you get, even if you live in a kingdom where all of these, there's no burden on you at all, it's all bliss. You get to sit next to beaches with people, you know, putting grapes in your mouth and shade in your body and all that stuff, and it's just wonderful all life. But if you still have sin in your heart, guess what? Eternal life is not yours. This life is short. Anybody know this life is short? I don't want to put any fear in anybody. There's people here today. It's the first time you've ever been here. And I, how many have ever heard somebody say, oh, I wouldn't dare go into church. It'd fall down. A lot of times I've heard that. I don't want to put any fear in anybody, but there's some people that this is the first time they've been here. That, you know what? Today the building could fall down on all of us and kill us. Only if it's God's choice. But you know what? If that happens, I hope that you know what the Word of God says, and I hope that you've applied it to your life, and I hope that you're not worried about that at all, because your sins are forgiven. In the moment you leave from this earth, you go to a place that is awesome, that is eternal. Or, if you don't know God's Word and you don't know how to apply it to your life, you go to a place that is eternal, and it's going to be awesome, but it's not going to be fun. There's going to be an incredible... Okay, I don't even need to go there. You'll follow a king as long as the blessings flow, but you know what? The one who saves you from your sin, the moment you get that in your spirit and you really understand it and you really apply it to your life, you'll never leave that one. Do you really know who you are worshiping and why you are worshiping him? In John chapter 4, verses 23 through or 22 through 23, Jesus goes to the well, and he's talking to this woman. He says, and they're talking about worship. She says, we worship up here on the mountain. And Jesus says to her, he says, you know what? You don't even know what you're worshiping. Do you know what you're worshiping? Are you worshiping a king or are you worshiping a savior? There's a difference. And you know, when it comes to Jesus being king, he doesn't come in as ruler to take over and say, I'm your king. No, he says, I'll be your king if you ask me to be. You see, he puts it on us. And once we call on him to save us of our own sin, and we get that part of our life right, and we understand what the Bible's about, we understand what salvation is about, then we turn to him and say, you know what, God, I want you to be my king. Not because I know that you're just going to pour out blessings on me, but because you died for me. You took my sin upon yourself. Yeah, I'll serve you. He's the only one worthy to be king. Do you know what you worship? Jesus says, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What does that mean, in spirit and in truth? I've heard all kinds of interpretations about that. Well, you know, the Bible talks about walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. Those who are walking in the spirit are those who are doing their best to live according to the Word of God. They're denying their flesh, which is all the lustful stuff that comes our way, and we all have it. But we deny that, and we walk in the Spirit, and so we worship God in the Spirit and the truth, which basically means, you know what? We know what we're talking about. We know the guy that we're worshiping. We know what his Word says. We know that it's true, and we worship him because he is our Savior. Do you know? You see, on Palm Sunday, when they were out there putting those branches down in the road, they didn't even know who it was they were worshiping. Today there's people that are full, there are churches that are full of people that don't have a clue who they're worshiping. There's many churches that are lifting up a false Jesus. Do you know that? A false Jesus. A Jesus that's promising all kinds of worldly comforts with little regard to saving souls from sin. Excuse me. You know, you can turn on your TVs and you can watch all week long. You can pull up a church program. Well, if you send us this, you're going to get this. Give us your money. And God's going to bless you with all the riches of the world. They're churches that are, what it says in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. It says, from such turn away. Oh, it's a beautiful church. Look at the great colors in the windows. Isn't it wonderful? And all these, you know, it's the place is just immaculate and spotless, and everybody's wearing robes, and there's candles, and there's all this. You know, the band is amazing. They don't have any clutter around on the stage or nothing. It's such a marvelous place. Let's go there. If they're never dealing with the sin in your heart, if they're never challenging you to get on your face before God and call on His name to save your soul, if all it is about the big show, from such turn away. Know what your Bible says. Know how to apply it to your life. Don't be embarrassed if you don't know it all. You know, I mean, nobody knows it all. But, you know, we should continually be striving to know more. You know, even if it's one verse, just one verse, oh, I really know what this means. And I'm applying it to my life correctly. Well, you know what? If your intent is to know God, guess what? He will reveal Himself to you. I've quoted this verse time and time and time again. Seek and you will find. I believe God's word. Why do I believe? Because I sought and I found. And many sit here today, know exactly what I'm talking about. You want to know Him more? Go after Him more. He will reveal Himself to you. The moment you get one verse in, go get another one. The Bible's full of them. Tons of them. And what are they there for? To give you strength, to give you encouragement, to edify you, to give you peace, to give you hope, to give you joy, to give you love, to give you forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Not to give you a new car or the nicest house or the government that is going to provide your every need. If that were the case, most people around the world would be in big trouble. How many know that there are believers all around the world that have to sit under very oppressive governments? Do you know that? But do you know why there's smiles on their faces? Because they don't serve a king that promises their every lustful need or whim. They serve a king that saves them from their sin. And that king, they will follow to the end. What we should be seeking in worship is first a Savior. Amen? First a Savior. Galatians 5:22 through 25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, houses and cars, as many as you can drive, all kinds of cool clothes, expensive sunglasses, smartphones. No, that's not what it says. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you know who you're worshiping? Do you know why you worship Him? Do you know what the Bible says? And are you worshiping God for the right reason? Because if you are, you'll never turn your back on Him. And so again, here is a list. And I love it when you see things kind of listed out in the Bible. They're good things to go back and use as a reference. Now here's a good little checker to see how it is. Where you're at as far as your devotion to God. Because if we are devoted to God in the right way, we should have fruit in our lives, spiritual fruit in our lives. You know, there are many people that think that, well, if I worship God in the right way, I'm going to have just all these blessings all around me, and it's just going to be wonderful. Well, you do get blessings all around you, but you know what the fruit that you need to be looking for is right there. If you are following Jesus the way that you should, you're going to have life or love. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have long-suffering. You're going to have gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Temperance there being meaning self-control. You see, we can take a look at that list and we can say, I don't have a whole lot of peace in my life. I wonder if I'm not quite worshiping the Lord the way I should be. Or I don't have a lot of faith right now. Maybe I just need to go after Jesus for who he is, my Savior. You know, look at these things. How does it apply to your life? Is there any of it in your life? If there's none of it in your life, oh my gosh, run to the altar right now. And this is something to strive for. You know what? I want fruit of God's Spirit in my life. I want to have love. Is there somebody in your heart right now that you can think, oh my gosh, I can't stand this person. I hate this person. I wish God will wipe them off the earth. Nobody's like that, right? Did I hear somebody say they need to run to the altar right now? I need some more love in my life if that's the case. I need to be talking to Jesus, my Savior, to forgive me of my sin. I mean, you know what's a sin? To hate. Yeah. I had to laugh at that song that came out, I'm Praying for My Ex. Anybody heard that one? You never heard that one? There's a song, it's a country song. The guy's praying for the ex, praying that, you know, the engine on the plane will fail, and praying that a flower pot will fall on her head, and praying all this bad stuff. You never heard that? Oh, yeah, it's out there. I don't know. Country music, you get a lot of trouble listening to that stuff. Long-suffering. Oh, boy. We all should run to the altar for that one. Long-suffering means, you know what? It's difficult, but we're going to get through. Things may not be the way I need them now, but I have hope for future. Versus, did we wake up with that guy in the morning? Or that lady? You know, where are you at? Do you know God's word? Are you applying it to your life? Are you walking in love, in joy, in peace, in long-suffering? I want you to know something. It's joyful. It is joyful knowing that my sins are forgiven, that I am free, and I can walk on this earth blessed by God, not because I have substance, but because I have a Savior. There's a lot of joy in that. Do you know who you're worshiping? Last verse right here, John 10, 27 through 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them cars and houses and smartphones and all that stuff. No, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see what I'm saying this morning? Do you know his word? Are you applying it to your life right? Because if you are, you'll never turn away from him. And no one will be able to convince you that he's not God. Because when he comes into town, and when he came into town, when he came into this earth, he came here for one reason, and one reason only, and that is to save me from myself. To save me from my sin. And the Bible tells me that all I need to do is put my faith in Him. Believe in Him. What's it say? Whosoever believes shall have everlasting life. Believes what? Believes that He took upon Himself my sin and your sin, and He took it to the cross, and He was crucified, and He paid our death penalty, which is the penalty for my sin and your sin. He paid it for me. And if I would just believe God that, yes, He died for my sin and He offers me eternal life. And then He rose from the grave and He sits at the right hand of the Father right now, having conquered death. Not just for Himself, but for you and I. Isn't that awesome? You see, this Palm Sunday, make sure that you know who you're worshiping and why you're worshiping Him. Because they didn't have a clue on that day. Oh, it's a marvelous story. Hosanna, Hosanna. And it's interesting, the word choice. Let me go all the way back. Where was that? Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. They should have said, blessed is the Savior who is the Lord. Amen? Stand with me this morning. I know it's not your typical Palm Sunday message. Well, that's all right. Hopefully you receive some truth. And when we cry out, Hosanna, may it be, Lord, save us from our sin, versus what they were crying, Lord, save us from our government. Of course, we could use some of that too, but... This morning, I want to give you an opportunity. An opportunity to, if you don't really know Jesus, to call upon His name and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. If you do know Him, but yet you haven't been worshiping Him right, you've been looking for blessings rather than forgiveness, I'll give you an opportunity to just come and call on Him as your Savior. If you've never heard that message before, that Jesus died for your sins, you want to receive forgiveness of your sins, then today's the day to respond. I want to give you that opportunity as well. Heavenly Father, we stand here before You today. We want to know You more. God, forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us, O God, when we've looked to You just for the blessing and not for the salvation. May we live our lives in such a way that we would be true to Your word, understanding that it's all about a Savior who came into this world to die for our sins, versus a king who came into this world to just bless and pour out our every whim, fulfilling and quenching our lustful thirsts. Lord, I pray that You would give us love and joy and peace and all those things that come for those who worship You. I pray that we would all be true worshipers, worshiping in spirit and in truth. I
I pray a blessing, God, on each and every one here this morning, that when we leave this place, we would know what Palm Sunday's all about. We would know what you are all about. And God, that we would never turn our backs on our Savior. If you want to spend a few moments just praying around the altar, please feel free to do that. I'm going to sing a song that we sang earlier. The song that talks about when you call my name. I want everybody to understand, Jesus is calling your name. If you haven't responded to it yet, now, you really should. Because he's got an offer for you that is beyond this earth. So be blessed today. Greet one another. Hallelujah. Let's worship our King, our Savior. There's a hunger in this wilderness for your revelation, to hear the words of life that strengthen me. Come and show what you prepared for me, and speak your confirmation, and show me how I fit into your plan. For when you call my name, I can see again who you are. As you beckon me, I am free to see who you are, who I'm sent to be. Amen. As you talk about the Lord, and you know what? I haven't given any homework in a while. This week, make sure you talk about the Lord. Tell people about a Savior. Amen. Tell people that he has love and joy and peace and hope for you. But mostly, he came to forgive you and give you eternal life. Amen. God bless this congregation this morning. I thank you, God, for bringing each and every one of us here. And I just pray that as we continue to strive towards you, Lord, that you will enable us and empower us by your Holy Spirit to know you more and to live our lives in such a way, God, that others would find you through our words and action. Pour out your Spirit upon the church. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for being our Savior. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. Continuing our study in the book of Revelation. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Celebrate recovery.